Welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune, and this is the entire thing of The Deadly Experiments of Dr. Eek, which is a give yourself goosebumps, the choose your own adventure. The cover of it has a monkey in a chimp, in a lab coat. That's the lab coat's coming apart. It looks like he's cooking some sort of green meth. And everything's sparkling, and there's no little tagline. I'm reading it to Connie.
Hi.
Who's been on numerous. That's my girlfriend. And her sister who's staying with us, Brooklyn.
Hi.
Who's staying with us for Christmas. This is recorded Christmas Eve Eve. I learned from her what 14-year-olds are into, which is, I'm going to list them. Weed.
Mm-hmm.
Twerking. Chief Keef
every
day. And vaping.
Vaping is a thing now. It's such a big thing.
And that's important. Cool. Do you have any relationship to Goosebumps?
No.
None. No. All right. Let's start this. Drink a Steel Reserve malt beverage. How do you get in here? A voice calls as you enter the waiting room at Eek Laboratories. The door is supposed to be locked at all times. You and your friend Sam jump. You didn't think anyone was around. Then you spot the receptionist sitting behind a tall desk. She's a short, frizzy-haired redhead wearing too much lipstick for her thin lips. Maybe she wants someone to notice her because she's just a receptionist. And that's all she is, you know. Obviously, you know, frizzy hair came before clearly wearing a wedding band. You know, so what if she wants to attract a mate? Uh-huh. She glares at you as if she expects you to turn around and leave. As soon as you figure out you're going in the wrong place. That went well. I'm looking for my mom, you tell her. Who's your mom? The receptionist asks. She starts to pack up her things to leave. You glance at the clock. It's almost 5:30. Quitting time. She's the new laboratory technician, you explain. She's working on some top secret experiments for Eek. Really? For Dr. Eek? The receptionist gazes at you suspiciously as if you're African American. Yeah, I guess, you say. But really, you're not sure. How come your mom never mentioned him before? Dr. Eek. All she ever told you was that she had a new job in a research lab. You didn't know there was a medical doctor involved. Doctors give you the creeps. That's because last time they had a meeting with Dr. Touchy Feely. Are you sure your mom works for Dr. Eek? The receptionist grills you. She raises an eyebrow like the rock. Her eyebrows give you the creeps. In fact, the whole place gives you the creeps. From the minute you stepped off the elevator on the 19th floor, there were no signs of life, no one in the echoing hall, nothing but the creaking elevator door. And then you spotted the door to Eek Labs. Your mother never told you about that either. The door looked like the door to a huge vault. There used to be a show called Mystery Science Theater 3000 where the intro involved a bunch of doors opening. Mm-hmm. Do you know the show I'm talking about?
No.
They showed old movies that were public domain so they could show mm-hmm. them. And then they talked over them and made commentary. It's like this, but it's not audiobooks, it's movies.
Oh, cool.
They invented that thing. The point is, I was going to reference that, but you won't get it, so I'll just try John.
She's 14. It's because I'm 14.
Yeah. It was heavy steel, and about 6 inches thick. Your best friend Sam pulled a small handle near the edge of the door. To your surprise, the door swung open easily. Okay, you told yourself. So, the place has a weird door. That's no reason to freak the fuck out. Yeah. She works here, you tell the receptionist. She does research. Well, take a seat, she replies. I'm sure your mom will be right here. Then, she packs up her oversized tote bag and walks the fuck out. You search around for a chair. Then, you see them, across the room. The chairs are all orange plastic. And, they're all chained together. That's foreboding. You sit down in an orange plastic chair, but Sam doesn't. He starts to roam around the waiting room. So, what movie's your mom gonna take us to? Sam asks. You shrug. Who knows? But remember, Sam, we promised my mom we wouldn't act too wild in here. You warn with a grin. So you didn't know, Mr. Sensor's Theater 3000? Do you know Wild and Out?
I do know Wild and Out.
That's terrible. I just wanted to make sure that you know knew that, but not a good show.
I enjoy me some Wild and Out.
You like that Nick Cannon?
Yeah. I mean, sometimes I'm a fan of him, but sometimes I'm not.
All right, just checking. Judging a little, but checking. Yeah, he says, like he really cares. He wanders over to the receptionist desks. He picks up a glass of clear liquid that's sitting there. Probably vodka. It's probably just water or vodka, but... Hey, you cry, don't drink that. But before you can stop him, he drinks it down. Sam drains the glass in one gulp. Then he whirls around to face you. Sam, I mean it, you moan. We can't fool around. This is a science lab. He starts to answer, but suddenly, his face turns white. He clutches his throat and gasps. Then, the veins on his neck start to pop out. A moment later, he makes a hideous face as if he's turning into Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. That's what it says. As if he's turning into Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Mm. What R.L. Stein meant to say was, as if he's Dr. Jekyll turning into Mr. Hyde.
Right.
Mm.
Because he wouldn't turn into two people.
Yeah, right.
You know.
Yeah.
Unless he was, like, bi-gender, some sort of Tumblr thing, but that doesn't really happen. You freeze. Your heart pounds wildly. What did you drink? You ax him. This one has an option. You race over to the desk. You pick up the glass Sam was drinking from and sniff to see if it has a smell. Nothing. Sam bursts out laughing. He gives you a devilish grin. Water. Sam says, pointing to the glass. It's just water. You can't help laughing, too. You like Sam. He's funny, but sometimes your best friend can go too far. He's always playing crazy jokes on you. Hey, close your eyes and put this in your mouth. Crazy jokes! Sam gazes around. You're sure he's trying to find some other trouble to get into. Maybe we should look for my mom, you suggest. Anything to keep Sam from getting into more trouble. His eyes light up. Great idea, he cries. Maybe we can do our own experiments. Like the eyes closed mouth one?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. On second thought, maybe you should just sit tight and wait. If you sit down and wait for your mom, turn to page 11. If you go and look for her, turn to page 6. We gonna look for that bitch. You okay with that, Connie?
Yep.
On it. Oh, by the way, the rules of this are if we get to a whack ending, we go back. But if we get to a real ending, we finish.
Okay. Because
a lot of whack endings are like, well, you're an idiot, and for some reason you slip on ice and die. And it's like, well, that's not an ending. All right. Let's look around for Mom, you tell Sam. But remember, no goofing around. This is a science lab. Righto, Sam agrees. He zooms through the waiting room door into a long hallway. You quickly follow. The hallway is pretty boring. Yeah, I guess that wasn't a joke. Just a lot of closed doors on both white walls, and there's no way to know what's behind most of them. You open the first one and peek in. Bummer! It's just the lounge. At least that's what it looks like. There are two beat-up brown couches, a table, some chairs, and a bunch of vending machines. Got any change? Sam asks. I'm starving. Maybe he's planning for his new career being a hobo. Get a job, Sam. Am I right, Conchetta? Yeah. You pull out the coins from your pocket. You've got enough for only one snack selection. You drop the coins into the slot in the machine. You start to punch the number of your favorite candy bar, but before you hit the buttons, a hand suddenly clamps down on your shoulder, and you turn around slowly on page 14. That was no option. It was just telling you what to do.
I like this. This is cool.
All right. That's what all the kids are saying about Goosebumps. I like this. This is cool. That's our slogan. Yeah. It's also Stay Spooky, Bitches. And it's also Like a Little Bitch.
All right.
Wow! You gasp as you turn around. It's a big, hairy chimpanzee. You and Sam freeze. The chimp has you cornered in the lounge. Where'd he come from? Is he friendly or dangerous? I heard that they go directly to pull off the genitals first and then the face. Is that what they're gonna do to me? I hope my genitals stay intact. Oh dear God, I love my genitals. I've been just getting to know them a lot. A lot! You have no idea what he'll do, and he's bigger than any chimp you've ever seen. In fact, he's at least as tall as you are. More like a gorilla, you think. You swallow hard. I've never seen a chimp up close like this before, Sam whispers. Me neither, you whisper back. The chimp tilts his head, staring at you. He never seems to blink. Then slowly, he reaches his other big hairy hand toward your throat. Turn to page 13.
Oh no.
This one has an option.
Ooh.
You want to scream, but nothing comes out. The chimp moves closer, closer to your throat, but he doesn't grab you or even touch you. Instead, he reaches past you to the buttons on the candy machine. He points directly at A6. Didn't he just put money in there and not even choose an option?
Yeah.
Did that chimp rob him?
Oh, shit.
There's a racist joke in there, but I don't want to make it. But I'm just saying that chimp stole his candy selection. But I'm not going to make that joke.
Mm-hmm.
Not because I'm mature, but because you're here.
Okay.
Because normally, oh, God. Hey! Sam cries. He wants you to... He wants you to get a different candy bar. Cool, you say, smiling at this amazing monkey. But it is it okay to give a candy to a chimp? Before you can decide, Sam pushes the buttons for A6. A chocolatey, peanut buttery thing drops into the slot. Sam quickly unwraps the candy bar and hands it to the chimpanzee. His monstrous teeth chomp down hard on the candy. Glad it's not your genitals. He finishes it in two bites and then pats you on the head. A moment later, he motions for you to follow him. Come on, let's see what he wants, Sam cries. I don't know, you reply. I thought we were going to look for my mom. Maybe we should go back to the waiting room. Sam rolls his eyes. Where's your sense of adventure? It's a choose-your-own-book, you adventure book. Fuck, I fucked that up. God damn it. Well, where is your sense of adventure? If you follow the chimp, page 101. If you go back to the waiting room, turn to page 42.
Shit, what should we do, honey?
Are you following the chimp and going on an adventure? Or are you just waiting for your mom?
Follow the chimp. Yeah,
let's go for the
adventure. Yeah.
Why wouldn't you? 101. Pardon?
I might need more sugar.
Taste it. Or do you want to bring a taste? Sorry. Connie is making. Did I already say this? Little.
I don't think so.
Little apple pies, but like little apple pie pockets.
Mhm. Very cute.
And they're delicious. And she's seeing if it needs more sugar.
Let me taste it. I think if you ate the whole thing to yourself, maybe.
Is this hot? Are you trying to sabotage my reading?
No. I mean, it's a little hot, but not really.
I don't know if that needs more sugar. It's really good.
Yeah, I want to try it.
Okay.
Okay, keep going.
Let me wash down the delicious homemade apple pie with some steel reserve that's warm in the bottom.
Let it cool down a little bit.
Okay.
You follow the chimp. He leads you quickly down the gleaming white hallway. Oddly enough, he seems to know exactly where he's going. Probably because he's Dr. Eek on the cover of the fucking book, am I right? When the chimp's not watching, Sam stoops over. He copies the chimp's lumbering scamper. Ooh, ooh, Sam cries, scratching his underarms and making chimp faces. The chimp turns around and catches Sam at it. He glares at both of you. That's the N-word to them. The ooh-ooh and the arm scratch, that's their N-word. Just like Eskimo is N-word to Inuits. Weird, you think? You know chimps are supposed to be smart animals, but the gleam in his... in this one's eyes. Frankly, you think he looks smarter than Sam. At least... not at least. At last. You come to a door. The chimp opens it and makes a sound. It sounds kind of like, eek! What's in here? You wonder. You step through the door into a large laboratory, just like Breaking Bad. Sam follows you right behind. Inside, a tall man wearing a lab coat writes on a clipboard. He whirls around. He glares at you with intense dark eyes. Who are you? He demands loudly. What are you doing here? Turn to page 122. You try to stay cool like Dune. Even with the scientists glaring at you, you introduce yourself and Sam to the man. You reach out to shake his hands. Grown-ups usually like that. Grown-ups, like in that movie Grown-Ups 2. The documentary about just good times with your friends. Ah, yes, the man says, squeezing your hand a little too tight. I know your mother well, from the inside out. A brilliant scientist. You smile proudly, except for the sexual stuff makes you a little uncomfortable. The chimp tugs on the sleeve of the man's lab coat, trying to get his attention. He makes some signs with his hands. He might be a Crip. You don't know yet. You can't figure out what he's trying to say, but it seems to be kind of a sign language. The man nods, as if he understands. I am Professor Yazark. One of Dr. Eek's associates, the man says. I see you've met Oscar. He nods towards the chimp. Maybe Oscar's still Dr. Eek, because you'd use the doctor name as your last name. We'll find out, won't we?
We will.
He nods towards the chimp. Would you care to take a look at our work? He leads you and Sam to a wall of windows. You both peer through. Wow! Sam gasps. Turn to page 53. Oh, sorry. To take a closer look, turn to page 53. I don't like not having options. Yeah. Oh, this one has options, though.
Ooh, I like the option.
Yeah. Yeah, Republicans. I think an unwed pregnant mother should have options about her own pregnancy. I'm making a stand on this one.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm pro-choice. But I'm against being at a steel reserve, which I am. Your mouth falls open as you stare through the lab window. To your amazement, the lab is filled with chimps, but they're not just monkeying around. Oh, R.L. Stein. They're doing cool things. Playing checkers, painting pictures, sending Snapchats to their genitals, and reading books. Look, Sam says, those two chimps are playing video games. Wow, can you believe their scores? Back in the day, people cared about video game scores. It wasn't whether you beat it or not, because everyone could eventually beat the game, so it was how many points you got. But no one cares about that anymore. It's not like a real thing that kept up. What kind of research are you doing in here? You ask Professor Yazark. Studying the brains of chimpanzees, he explains, chimps are very smart. And physically, they're a lot like people. There is much we can learn from them. See, I got caught up because I was going to make a joke about the doctor saying, your genitals are like a chimp's, but then I didn't think it made sense. So then there's just an awkward pause there, but that's what was going on up here. Oscar gives the professor a nudge. A hard nudge. As if you want something. Heavy banana. Yeah. The professor jumps a little. Then he turns to you. Oscar is wondering if you'd care to go inside. Professor Yazark says. He nods towards the next room to see the research up close. Sure, Sam cries. Can we play video games? I don't know why I read that like a joke. I need to stop looking at you when I read things as a joke because I lose my place every time. Oscar, would you like that very much? Sorry, Oscar would like that very much. Professor Yazark replies with a strange smile. What's he smiling about, you wonder? Come on, Sam urges you. What are you waiting for? If you go into the room with the chimps, turn to page 67. If not, then think of an excuse and go to page 108.
Go in the room with the chimps.
All right, we're going in the room with the chimps, who I just reminded you love to rip off genitals. No, that's what we're doing.
It's going to get exciting.
Genital ripping exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Why not take a quick look around the lab, you think? After all, your mom never lets you do anything like this. She never shows you any of this cool stuff. This might be your only chance. Yeah, we'd love to see the chimps, you tell Professor Yazark. Professor Yazark smiles. Oscar jumps up and down. Good. Professor Yazark says. Quickly, he ushers you and Sam through the connecting door. As soon as you walk in, all the chimps glance up. They stare at you and Sam without making a sound. Weird, you think. Did you see Rise of the Planet of the Apes?
No.
It was 100% a derivative of this work.
Seriously?
This is all stolen, and all they did was add Malfoy from Harry Potter, and that's it. It's the same exact book. You hold very still, not wanting to scare the chimps. That's why you don't notice what's happening behind you. Oscar the chimp is slamming the door and locking it with a key. Hey, what's going on? Find out on page 10. This is where I make sure it's recording, because if it doesn't, I just throw the recorder and get angry.
Mm-hmm.
Like a chimp, am I right? As soon as the door is locked, the chimps stop playing games and reading books. The fun and games are over. Several of them run to the windows and pull down the shades. Ooh, it's getting sensual. Then Oscar lights some incense and puts on some Barry White. Just kidding, he takes a lab coat from a hook on the wall and slips it on. He pulls something from the pocket and puts it in his palm. Then he walks over to Professor Yazark and holds out his palm. Resting there is a small chocolate treat. Don't get excited, Franklin. It's just in the book. Professor Yazark snatches it and stuffs it in his mouth as if it's a reward. Oscar pats him on the head. Then Oscar points to the far corner of the room. Hey! You didn't see that before. The whole wall is lined with large cages. Eek! Eek! Oscar cries, making that same sound again. Professor Yazark obediently hurries over to one of the cages. He crawls inside, lies down, and curls up to take a nap. Uh-oh, Sam croaks, clutching her arm. Look! We're going to turn to page 45. Also, you know how I said that Rise of the Planet of the Apes was stolen from this?
Mm-hmm.
Also, the original Planet of the Apes was retroactively stolen from this.
I feel like a lot of things are taken from Goosebumps.
Motherfucker. We might have to do another one, because this is the ending. As you stare at the cages, you get a horrible sinking feeling. You see that several of the cages are occupied, but not by chimps, by people. They're all adults. Most of them are wearing lab coats, and all of them are asleep. Sam jabs you in the ribs and points. That woman curled up in the corner. It's the thin-lipped receptionist who couldn't find a man and was frumpy and never did anything with her life, and all she wanted was to be loved. And Haagen-Dazs couldn't fill that void. It couldn't fill that void. No wonder the halls of Eek Laboratories were so empty. Hey, what's going on here? Sam shouts. Oscar smiles at you. A chimp smile. Then, he lets out a series of eeks. You can't understand chimpanzee, but if you could, you'd hear Oscar saying, "We're studying human brains. Humans are very smart, and physically they're a lot like chimpanzees. There is much we can learn from them." Then, he pats you on your head. "We're especially delighted that we now have two human children to study," he goes on. "It should be very interesting." You and Sam back away. You don't understand what he just said, but as you stumble into the locked door, you're pretty sure you understand one very important scientific fact. this is definitely the end.
Bum, bum, bum.
You want to do another one so we go back? Where do you want to go back to? We had the choice of not going in that lab and looking for your mom.
Oh, yeah.
We have the choice from the very beginning if you want to go all the fucking way back.
What was that choice?
It started with... Oh, God. Sit down and wait for your mom or go look for her. Do you want to go back that far? Or do you want to go to we looked for her on page... Let's turn to 14. Let's turn to 13. Which offer the choice of... If you follow the chimp, page 101, if you go back to the waiting room, 42.
Should we go back to the waiting room?
That's pretty far back. Do you want to do that or do you want to do something else? It's all up to you. We'll go on an adventure.
I think we should go back to the waiting room.
All right. So we'll, so at this point, okay, so what's going on here was when that fucking asshole chimp was selecting his own candy, and then he eventually ate it.
Mm.
And we were saying, fuck that noise! So rather than following him, that candy-stealing motherfucker, we're gonna go back to the waiting room on page 42, and then we're gonna be like, I don't know what's gonna happen. You know? Do you know? Because I don't. Really hope it doesn't say the end on this one when we're trying to do it. It does.
It does.
I'm going to finish it, though.
All right.
We better not mess around. You tell Sam as you back away from the chimp. Let's go back to the waiting room. I mean it. Now. Reluctantly, Sam follows you. That's the plot of Lord of the Rings. Just reluctantly, Sam follows you. The two of you watch the chimp the whole way. The whole time you fucking leave and shit. When you reach the door, the chimp tilts his head to one side and waves goodbye. He looks really sad to see you leave. Then, you hurry back down the hall to the waiting room. It's still empty. But a moment later, the main door, the one that looks like a vault door, swings open all the fucking way and your mom sweeps in. There you are! She exclaims. I was afraid this would happen. You're in the wrong waiting room. Come on! She nods her head toward the elevators in the hall. What movie are we going to see? You ask. We're too late for the movies now, fag. She says. I think we'll go home and go to bed. Boring.
Damn.
See what happens when you have no sense of adventure? The end.
Damn. Other ending was so much more exciting.
Yeah. So at this point, we can go to the very beginning and do it again, or you can say it's over. What do you want to do?
I feel like there could be something better in there, you know?
No, there's like 40 different endings, yeah.
I think
there okay, you want to go back to the first decision of sitting down in the waiting room at page 4?
I don't really want to sit down in the waiting room, though.
Okay, let me find out what's happened. So we went there. We went to look for her in page 6, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then we turned to page 14. Then we turn to page 13. Then we follow the chimp to page 101. I feel like we barely even touched on these hundreds.
Uh-huh.
Then we went to 122. Then we went to 53. God, I'm good at finding these pages. I say that as soon as I stop being able to. Okay, and then 53 says, if you go in the room with the chimps, turn to 67. If not, think of an excuse on page 108. So this was... where the shit kind of hit the fan and killed us. You want to switch it up? This is when we're at the room. We see chimps, you know, doing science.
Uh-huh.
Snapchatting. So you want to go make the opposite decision here? Or do you want to go to the very beginning?
I don't know. Let's try this one.
If not, think of an excuse and turn to page 108.
Mm-hmm. That's not an ending.
Ooh, there's not an ending on this one. Thanks, but we can't go in the lab, you say politely. That's okay, Professor Yazark replies. You probably don't have any time anyway. Your mother just telephoned me. That's what people did prior to texting.
Mm.
And prior to just that horrible Snapchat stuff you're into. She had to go to a meeting, but she wants you to take Oscar home with you. Then someone will drop by your house later today and pick him up. Really? You ask. Take the chimp home. Cool! Sam shouts. I feel like the 90s were heavily into kids having a friend chimp. And I can't put my finger on any movie that did it specifically, but I feel like I saw it over and over as a child.
What?
Where a kid has a friend chimp. I just feel like it
happened. Speed Racer?
Speed Racer was before our time. That was like the 60s.
Well, yeah, but still.
True. I agree.
Sorry.
Why sorry? I'm just trying to think of 90s movies where a kid hung out with a chimp. But it's not cool. It's not cool at all. The minute you get home, Oscar goes wild. Just like Oscar Wilde. Because he was wild because he was a homosexual. Mm-hmm. Before that was tolerable. He runs to the refrigerator and helps himself to snacks, but not to eat, to play with. He throws a handful of pineapple yogurt at the wall. Then he starts swinging from the chandeliers. Help! You and Sam are worn out from chasing Oscar. I wish someone would come get this monkey, you say like a little bitch. That instant, the doorbell rings. Ding-a-ding-dong. You peek out the window. There's a Jeep parked outside. And standing on your porch is a tall, muscular teenager wearing sandals and a pair of cut-off jeans. No shirt. His sun-streaked brown hair hangs down onto his broad, tan chest. He looks a little familiar, but you can't remember from where. Now, as a teenager, does that sound hunky to you?
Yeah, that was pretty hunky.
He has a Jeep, so he has a car. That's good, right? Mm-hmm. The Jeep is not safe and it's probably going to get stolen. But he's muscular. That's good. Like me.
Oh, yeah.
Muscular. But he has sandals on and cut-off jeans.
No, that's not very hunky at all.
But no shirt and sun-streaked brown hair.
Maybe it makes up for a little bit.
But he's still wearing sandals outside.
Yeah, that's... I don't know. And, I don't like
and
sandals.
And jean cut-offs. He also cut off his jeans just past his knees.
Oh.
Yeah. They don't say that in the book, but it's a horrible look.
No, that's not cute.
Who is this motherfucker? Answer the door on page 15. Maybe he's a jeans salesman. And it's hot out, and all he has access to is jeans. God damn it! Can I help you? You ask the teenager as you climb the... There's no climb. I just made that word up. Mm. You ask the teenager as you open the front door. Chimp, he grunts in a deep voice. Got him? Before you can say anything, Oscar rushes right past you. He flings himself into the guy's arms. He strokes the guy's long hair and playfully pats him on the face and immediately just jerks him off. I'm sorry I said that in front of your sister.
No, thank you.
I don't know how to apologize. Then, the two of them start making chimp sounds as if they know each other. Thanks, the guy says, flashing you a smile. All at once, he vaults over your porch railing with Oscar in his arms. He leaps into his waiting Jeep and drives the fuck off. Wait! You scream, running after them. This can't be the guy the professor sent, can it? You see the guy's license plate. It's one of those vanity plates. Don't. If you're going to date someone, that is a deciding thing. Don't date someone with a vanity plate.
No.
It's a douche move.
Okay.
The kind that spells out a sentence or a word. You stare, mouth hanging open, at the simple black letters. No one is going to believe this, you realize. Not when you tell them the chimp was picked up by a tanned, half-naked guy who grunted and drove a car with a license plate that read, Tarzan. Nah, don't even think about it. No way. Couldn't be. Could it?
I don't know.
The fucking end of that bullshit.
Really?
Yeah. Well, how many minutes are we in? We're only 35 minutes in. Do you want to go back to the very start, or you want to end this? I might take a break if we're going to the start.
Yeah. Should we just end it, or we could go back to the start later? If you want to take a break.
I gotta end the file. Do you want to do it tonight, though, I'm saying?
Sure.
Okay, good. We'll take a break, and I'm going to make another cocktail, and we'll figure this all out from the beginning. Okay. Any message you have to the youth of America?
I really enjoy Goosebumps now.
Yeah?
Yeah, you make it fun.
Thank you, Steph.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Vape hard, son! That's my advice, you know, like vaping. Right, Connie?
Yep.
Alright. Brooklyn and I are back. We're going back to the beginning. So far in the beginning, Sam drank the water.
Mm-hmm.
We were in the waiting room. It's we. What I like about this is that Sam is a name that applies to either gender, and it's a you. So if you were listening to this, you would think it was you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if your mom worked in a monkey lab, which she might. You know. So last time we went to look for the mom, all over. But this time we're saying fuck that noise. So, we're just gonna go sit and wait for our mom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds good.
On page 11. It'd be funny if it was just a long description of waiting.
Mm-hmm.
Just like a magazine article from like Reader's Digest from like 97. And just put the whole thing in there. Right, Boo?
Mm-hmm.
Love you.
Love you.
Let's not mess around, you say to Sam. We should wait for my mom. You take a seat in one of the orange plastic chairs in the waiting room. Sam plops down in another one. Bummer, he says. I thought your mom was going to take us to the movies. She is, you assure him, as soon as she gets off work. But you look at your watch and think, uh-oh, she's late again. His mom's pregnant, baby. This has happened a lot lately. You hardly ever see your mom since she started working at Eek Labs. She spends more and more time at the lab. When you complained about it this morning, she apologized and gave you a big hug. She offered to take you to dinner and then to the movies that night. And bring Sam if you want, she said, knowing about their weird, ambiguous relationship. You check your watch again. It's almost 6 o'clock. Where is she? You know what I read recently, Boo?
What?
That when you're traveling places, a good way to get your phone stolen is for people to see that you don't have a watch on and ask you the time, then you pull out your phone, they jack it.
Interesting. That's wonderful.
Really?
Yeah. That's why when anyone asks me the time, I say 4:20.
That's hilarious.
A.
Dog. Suddenly, the door opens. A short woman in a white lab coat steps into the waiting room. She stares at you and Sam, then she motions for you to come with her. Sorry, we've been running late, the woman says. I'm Vanessa. Follow me. Let's turn to page 12. That's the next page. You're here for the raster experiment, aren't you? Vanessa asks. The pay is $50 cash. You get it at the end of the experiment. And it only takes about 20 minutes. Let's go. You look at Sam. $50? But what kind of experiment is it?
I have a good feeling about this.
You have a good feeling about the experiment? Or you have a good feeling about... Sorry.
The ending.
Sorry. If you want to go along with Vanessa, go to page 20. If you don't want to chance the raster experiment, go to page 63. So, we were kind of screwed in the last one, but I feel like it didn't go anywhere, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, you always want to go on the adventure, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, are we going to page 20 with Vanessa? Or if we don't want to take a chance on the raster experiment, go to page 63.
Dude, we have to go with Vanessa.
All right. Connie, we're going to the raster experiment.
Okay.
There's no the end. That's always a good sign. Also, now I'm drinking a Papa vodka with club soda and then a little Jarritos orange soda. That's what I'm drinking. The kids love to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. $50, Sam explains. His eyes light up. Sam's his Jewish friend. Mm-hmm. He's very excited about that kind of money. Great, you say, grinning. What do you have to do? Dr. Eek will explain it to you, Vanessa replies mysteriously. Follow me. You follow Vanessa into a long hallway. The place is empty. eerily empty. Closed doors line both sides of the hall. I feel like we've been here before. Vanessa's high heels click on the tile floor as she leads the way, like the introduction to that fucking AFI song off that December Underground that no one really liked anyway, and then they put out more stuff that no one really liked. Where is she taking you? Finally, she stops in front of a door with triple locks. There's an intercom box on the wall beside the door. She pushes the button. Yes! A man's voice crackles. They're here. Vanessa announces, why is she acting as if they're expecting you? Click! You hear an electric lock unlocking, then another, and another. The door swings open. You peer into the room. It's pitch black. Wesley Snipes black. Come in, a voice says from the darkness. To find out what's waiting for you, turn to page 32. It's probably Blade, huh? See, Wesley Snipes was on top of his career. Mm-hmm. He was doing the Blade movies and stuff, and then he decided, because he's part of some weird religious group that thinks that black people like descend from God, that he doesn't have to pay taxes. And the government said, yeah, you have to pay taxes. And then they put him in prison for years, and now we don't act so good, do we?
Oh shit, now I finally get that reference.
You step into the dark room. A light flashes on. Well, well, well. Kind of like three holes in the ground. Well, well, well.
Uh-huh.
What have we here? Says an older man in a white lab coat. He has gray hair and a soft, pudgy face. Our next two appointments, Vanessa explains. She tucks a strand of long, brown hair behind her ear like an elf. They're here for the raster experiment. Really? The man says. He pushes his wrinkled face right up to within an inch of your nose. The stench of old man just makes your eyes water. You just contemplate your own death when there's someone that's that old, that's that close to you, and he's just breathing on you, and it feels like just wet death, and you can't handle it, and God, you don't want to get old. So you just... He stares you in the eye. You try to gaze away. There's something odd. Odd. I thought it might say old, but it was odd. About him. About his eyes. It looks as if his right cheek has been pulled up to meet the eye and then been stapled to that motherfucker. It gives him a weird squint. Then you notice something else. His lab coat is on backward. That means he's ready for business. He's a total bottom. I'm Dr. Eek. Are you sure you're here for the raster experiment? The man asks. Yeah, definitely, Sam insists. What do we have to do? That all depends, Dr. Eek says, with an evil-sounding laugh. What are you willing to do? Decide on page 64. This one has a decision. Dr. Eek is too weird, you decide. You start to back out of the room, but Sam still has his dollar signs in his eyes. Like Scrooge McDuck, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like Scrooge Gold Duckenstein. Where are you going? Sam whispers to you. Out of here, you declare. No way, he insists. I'm staying until I get my motherfucking money. Dr. Eek grins. He can tell you are having second thoughts. How bad can it be? Sam mutters under his breath. I mean, seriously, your mom works here. It's going to be a safe place, okay? Right? It has to be. You nod half-heartedly. But where is your mom anyway? As if he can read your mind, Dr. Eek speaks up. Actually, he says, I'm not sure you're right for the raster experiment. I think you two are more suited to something. He lets his voice trail off. Else, he finally says, this sounds worse every minute. If you do whatever Dr. Eek tells you to do, turn to page 25. If you chicken out, turn to page 17.
I think we should do whatever he tells us to do.
Okay, I'm gonna say that's a good plan, right? Mm-hmm. And that's on page 25. However, That's a good plan for choose your own adventure. In life, when stuff's creeping you out, you just leave. I'm just giving you life advice. Do as I say, not as I do. Okay, you give in. We'll do it. What do we have to do? Dr. Eek just smiles slightly and pulls out a Costco-sized pile of lubricant.
That's not true, Boo.
Then he motions for you to follow him. This way, he orders. He leads you down a long hall with doors on both sides. He stops short at a door painted green. What's in there? You whisper to Sam. I don't know, Sam says. Some kind of experiment, probably. Yeah, probably, you think. Until Dr. Eek pulls open that motherfucking door.
56.
Hey, it's a restroom, you cry.
By the way, I'm not making sex jokes about an old man and kids. It actually is a restroom, Boo.
Here, Dr. Eek says, handing you a bucket and a mop. Clean up, bitches. Clean up? You exclaim, that's Charlie work. Correct, Dr. Eek says. Floors, sinks, all of it. I want it all scrubbed and spotless before you leave. Then he marches out of the room. Clean sinks? He wants you to clean sinks? Then you and Sam glance around. Weird, you mutter. Look at those sinks. They're so high, Sam exclaims. They're almost 8 feet off the ground. I wonder what kind of guy needs a sink that tall, you ax. An instant later, the door opens. A humongous 12-foot-tall kid, a kid your age, stomps into the restroom. Hi, he says in a booming voice. Then he notices you staring at his height. Yeah, I know, he groans. I'm a freak. Dr. Eek did this to me. But you guys are lucky. You get to clean sinks. Whatever you do, don't do the raster experiment. Clean sinks, you think again? Hey, gladly, any day. And when you're done, you can wash your hands of this whole creepy mess. The end. Again. What do you think? Do we go back more, or is that it? Do we want to chicken out from when he offers us this thing? We want to go? Okay, yeah, we'll go a little bit more. We'll go a little bit more. We're, I don't know how many minutes into it. There's two audio tracks, so this one's only, like, 12 and a half minutes in.
Yeah, I mean, why not? We should just, you know.
All right, so the doctor's like, hey, I think you guys are suited for something else, right? And something else is just, you know, wiping poo-poo. No one wants to wipe poo-poo. Connie, do you want to wipe poo-poo? Exactly. No one wants to wipe poo-poo. All right.
Oh, way to go, Connie.
So we chicken out and turn to page 17. This is a Christmas episode. Ooh, this one has a choice.
Ooh.
You clear your throat. Actually, I've got to go, you say to Dr. Eek. I've got to meet my mom. I'm staying, Sam announces. Dr. Eek shrugs. As you wish. Isn't that what they said in Princess Bride, Boo?
Yep.
He stares at you. He says to you, goodbye, pleasant meeting you. You glare at Sam and motion toward the door, but he won't follow you. You step out into the hallway alone. You start toward the reception area, but then you hear a voice cry out, help! Somebody help me! You freeze. Was that Sam? Did the sound come from behind you, or was it in front of you? You can't be sure. An instant later, you hear the cry again. If you go back and check on Sam, turn to page 81. If you think someone else might be in trouble, hurry to page 99. If you go back and check on Sam, run to page 81. If you think someone else might be in trouble, hurry to page 99.
I think we should check on Sam now.
All right, we'll check on Samwise Gamgee. I'm making a mark on that page just in case.
Mm-hmm.
Sam! You call. You rush back to the room where you left him. The one with three locks. Luckily, they aren't locked.
Who has a room with three locks and they don't lock any of them?
You yank open the door. Sam sits blindfolded at a table inside the small empty room. He holds a spoon in his hand. In front of him are three bowls of cereal. Dr. Eek stands behind Sam with a clipboard and a pencil. Which one tastes like sugar-coated ping pong balls? Dr. Eek asks. Which one tastes like cinnamon potato chips? And which one tastes like moldy hay? Huh? A taste test? That's all? You smack your forehead. What a jerk you've been! And Sam's gonna get $50 for this! But had he taken the $50, he would have been cleaning up the poo-poo from the Giants. Mm-hmm. Ugh, Dr. Eek, you say, is it too late to change my mind? I'd like to do this experiment. Dr. Eek laughs. I'm sorry, he says. This experiment is over, but I'd be happy to use you both in my canine lab. Canine lab? What sort of experiment is he doing with dogs? I bet we'll find out on page 111. I don't know, you say hesitantly. The canine lab? Don't be such a fag, Sam exclaims. Maybe we can each get another $50. And anyway, I love dogs. I fucking love dogs.
Franklin? Franklin? I love you.
Oh, he loves napping. You think about it. So far, exploring your mom's lab has been fun. A little scary, but fun. Anyway, it's more fun than waiting in the reception area for your mom. But where is that bitch? And what about that person who was calling for help? Doesn't that worry you? It does, but you decide to put it out of your mind. It's probably nothing, right? Maybe it wasn't even real. Maybe it was just a voice on the radio somewhere or on TV. Okay, you announce. I'm in. Let's go to the canine lab. Dr. Eek smiles. Good. He says, with four O's, so you know it's very good. Mm-hmm. Drawing out the word, I knew you'd cooperate. He gives you a wink with that weird eye. The one that seems to be stapled to his cheek. It makes him look as if he's permanently squinting. Follow me, Dr. Eek commands. Head over to the canine lab on page 54. Dr. Eek leads you down the hallway, past a dozen closed doors, around a corner, then, all at once, you see it. This is where I check again to make sure it's recording for no reason, because I have weird issues with that. I was already explaining to Connie that every day when I leave work, I lock my door, go to my car, turn on my car, put it in reverse, put it in park, walk to the door of my office, make sure it's locked, which it always is, and then go back in. That's not healthy, is it?
No.
It makes me cuckoo bananas.
Yeah.
Then all at once you see it, a hospital operating room. Dr. Eek pushes open the door. And the fucking two swinging doors and shit. Oh, those are the doors that you pushed open. They were pushed open, the doors you pushed them open. Huh? You choke, gulping loudly. Where are the dogs? Where's the canine lab? This is it, Dr. Eek replies. He hands you two hospital gowns. Get changed. Get changed? Is he kidding? Don't you need your parents' permission for shit like this? I've changed my mind, you mumble. I think I'd better ask my mom about this shit. Too late for that, Dr. Eek declares. Then he puts his hand on your shoulders and pushes you through the swinging doors. Hey, you think? He can't push you around this way. He can't just human centipede you whenever he wants. Push back on page 103. By the way, the last ending, what we do, you know what I'm saying? Get your hands off of me, you shout to Dr. Eek. And like you learn those anti-rape classes, you know, that you have to take every year in class that gives you a whistle that prevents nothing. But
I never got a whistle.
There's a rave whistle. It's the Ravers Anthem, everybody. Listen up. Something.
Are rape whistles in right now?
Who's asking rape whistles are in right now?
What?
I saw a bunch of little weird whistles as necklaces. Yeah. And I thought that was really weird.
I think rape is out right now.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so passe.
Is it?
Yeah, it's like, okay, yeah. We're going to rape people like our dads did in Vietnam. Okay.
Aww.
Our dads weren't in Vietnam.
I know, but still.
They were in Southern California getting high and surfing.
That's true.
Yeah. But he doesn't back up. You reach out and give him a shove, then you shove him again, harder. You can't experiment on kids like this, you yell. You give him another push. He stumbled backwards, slightly dazed, and cowers against the tiled wall. Then you and Sam charge out through the swinging doors. You're getting out of this joint. Because kids have said joint to refer to a place, you know, since 1950. Wait. Who are you? Dr. Eek calls. How'd you get in my lab anyway? It won't hurt to answer him, will it? If you think it's safe to answer Dr. Eek, the fucking rapist, turn to page 125. Or maybe you'd better just get out of there on page 78. Do you want to answer Dr. Eek, or do you want to get the fuck out of there?
I think we should answer him.
You think we should answer Rapey McGapey?
I don't know. It's more of an adventure, you know?
I think that, okay, I'm going to go to 125, but I really feel like interacting with rapists is not as much of an adventure as you think it is.
Yeah,
it just leads to heartbreak and years of therapy. You stop and give Eek a glare that could melt stone. How did we get in here? You repeat, spitting the words at him. My mom works for you, you creep. Your mother, Dr. Eek acts. He pulls himself up straight. The twisted smile creeps back off his lips. Yeah, you say. But not for long, because I bet she'll quit when she hears what you tried to do to us with your finger in my pooper. Your mother? Sorry, your mother, Dr. Eek asks again. He sneers. Tell me, dear child, just what is your mother's name? You tell him, and he laughs. He laughs so hard that his squinty eye opens and closes. It makes him look like a hideous puppet. Finally, he stops laughing, like my listeners did long ago. His face turns dead serious. I doubt you'll ever see your mother again. He sneers with a menacing glare. Oh no, what have you done with my mom? You cry like a little bitch. Turn to page 36. I haven't done anything to your mother, Dr. Eek says. But you see, you've made a terrible mistake. Your mother doesn't work here at Eek Labs. She works at EIK Labs, elsewhere in this building. So, if you ever want to see her again, you'll have to get out of my laboratory. He gives you a slow, wicked smile. And I'm afraid that just isn't likely to happen unless... Unless what? Figure out on page 76. I like that he knows all the other people that work in different places in his building. Like, he's clearly an evil scientist, but he takes the time to take everyone's name.
Yeah.
I've worked in the same place for 8.5 years, closing in on 9, and the people down below us who I see every day of my life, I don't know either of their names. I see that dude at Comic-Con every year, and I'm just like, hey, guy! That's why I think this book's fake, because I doubt that people are capable of forging real relationships. You'll never get out of this lab unless you can find your way out of the canine maze. It's maize. It's not maize, like the thing they make tortillas out of. Dr. Eek warns. He pulls at his lab coat to adjust it. It's practically choking him, since he's wearing it backwards, but He doesn't seem to think there's anything wrong. He strokes his chin, thinking. You're pretty sure from the look on Dr. Eek's face that he's cooking up a hideous plot. Then, he nods. Yes, I'd say that's your best chance, Dr. Eek declares. The canine maze. Unless what? You cry, once again like a little bitch. Unless you know the answer to this special Goosebumps question. Aw, fuck! The fourth wall has been broken, what the fuck? Dr. Eek replies, excellent, you shout, I'm a Goosebumps expert. You slap Sam a high five. Okay, Dr. Eek begins. In the book, My Hairiest Adventure, when Larry first notices the thick black hair on his hands, what is he holding? A toothbrush or a hairbrush? Fuck, I've done the audiobook on My Hairiest Adventure.
Which My Hairiest Adventure's over due to laser back hair removal.
I think he's carrying a fucking toothbrush, but I'm not sure. I honestly don't know. I'm gonna save this because that's not fair, because he wrote this with the Goosebumps trivia, assuming people would read them sober. And that is not fair to people like me who read them all drunk. You know? That's discrimination. I could sue. I could call the ACLU, the NAACP, and ICP, and GWAR. Alright, I think he's carrying a toothbrush, because I thought he was brushing his teeth when he finds out. Mm-hmm. But who knows about this fucking... This is cheating. This is cheat codes. I could edit this out and make myself sound good. Larry is holding a toothbrush, you tell Dr. Eek. Amazing! He cries. You are a true Goosebumps expert, Dune. You grin at Sam. So how do we get out of this lab now? You ask eagerly. The canine maze. Huh? The canine maze? You repeat. You're sure you must have heard him wrong. But you said there was another way out if I answered the question right. Too bad. I lied. Dr. Eek sneers. It's the canine maze for both of you motherfuckers. Dr. Eek shivers with delight. He hurries to push a big red button on the wall. A hidden door on the operating room wall swings open. You and Sam nervously peer inside. You can tell it's a maze because it's amazing. Just kidding, because this hallway is much narrower than the regular hall. Too narrow, you think. Plus, you can't see any doors in the maze. All you can see is that the maze twists and turns a lot. Dune, note to self. Instead of putting the normal outro music, put the song Amazing Maze at the end. It'll be fun. If you go in, will you ever get out? Dr. Eek gestures for you and Sam to enter the maze. Enjoy yourselves, he says with an evil grin. Oh, and by the way, beware of dogs. Franklin, you know what dogs are? They're people like you. The ones that don't have to work and get T-words all day. Turn to page 23. I like that we're doing well and getting far in this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I also want to go to sleep.
I feel you.
Dogs? You say. But I thought... What'd you think, motherfucker? Dr. Eek acts coldly. I thought this was a maze that you usually used for dogs, you say, to train them or something. I thought we had to find our way out or something, but I think the dogs would be in there with us at the same time, or I didn't think that, obviously. You just didn't think, Dr. Eek says briskly. Ah, well, too bad. He crossed his arms over his chest and stares at you. This conversation is over. Oh well, Sam groans. Come on, what are we waiting for? The sooner we go, the sooner we'll get out of this bitch. Sam's right, you decide, except that you need to keep remembering what Dr. Eek said. Beware of dogs. Be aware. Beware. Beware of dogs. Well, it just said beware of dogs three times in a row. Mm-hmm. But
I feel like I needed to kick it up a bit, you know?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. You step into the maze corridor. There's a strange smell in the air. Like a dog smell? It makes the hair on the back of your neck stand up.
I had a black friend that told me that white people smell like wet dogs and mayonnaise. And that just reminded me of the dog smell. Turn to page 31. He told me that white people smell like wet dogs and mayonnaise.
You take a few steps forward, further into the maze, BAM! The door slams shut behind you with a clang. Now, you're really trapped.
I trap all day, so it's not a big deal for me, you know? I just, you know, trap here, I trap there, I live in a trap house. I'm just trapping, you know, selling bricks and stuff.
Which way? Sam asks. Don't be dumb, you snap. We haven't come to a choice yet. We just keep going straight. You continue walking. The hallway twists and turns five times. Left, right, right, left, left, again, but at an angle.
That was unnecessary that I use my hands because no one can see.
Still, you aren't exactly lost. You could easily turn around and go back the way you came, but your heart pounds wildly. This is where Cedric Diggory died, so it's a big deal. You feel like an animal caught in a trap, just knowing that it's a maze, that there's only one way out. Then, it hits you. Hey! You call to Sam, swallowing hard. Your voice sounds high. You hope Sam doesn't notice how freaked out you are. Did Dr. Eek actually say there was a way out of here?
Go to page 30. Oh, it's the next page on the left. I don't even have to turn the page. That's amazing. I'm going to finish this drink. Don't drink.
Gotcha.
It only makes everything better.
There's got to be a way out, doesn't there? Sam cries. I don't know. I can't remember what Dr. Eek said. Maybe the maze just goes around and around in circles forever. Like a techno song, you shriek. Maybe we'll just die of starvation or run out of air. Maybe the only way out is that door back there. The one he just locked. You and Sam don't say shit for the next few minutes, but you're both beginning to sweat. The worst part is the silence in the maze. Yoda, what are you doing up there?
No! He's trying to pull down bones.
Get down.
This is how all podcasts go. It's a lot of cat yelling. Mm-hmm. You're not up on the scene. You're both sweating and shit. The worst part is the silence. The dead silence. It doesn't even echo a little. The only sound is the sound of your sneakers. He probably has sneakers that play like a weird MIDI sound, like LA Gear, but they go like do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And Sam's thick hiking boots. Oh, Sam probably is a girl. He's probably a lesbian.
Mm-hmm.
On the tile floor. And the smell, that doggy smell, like white people. It's getting stronger and stronger. Then, all at once, you come to a fork, a choice. The maze corridor goes either left or straight ahead. You look left. You see only a short piece of hallway and then another turn. Straight ahead, the hallway seems to stretch on for a long, long time without turning. Which way? To go left, turn to page 18. To go straight, turn to page 130.
You're walking down a hallway. You're with your lesbian friend Sam.
Mm-hmm.
Hiking boots just thud, thud, thud. Down the left, you see a hallway that has a turn right away, and straight ahead, you see one that has no turns whatsoever.
Should we turn, or should we just go?
This is up to you.
I guess it is up to me. I think we should turn. I'm liking that it's going somewhere.
All right.
I'm just anxious to see the end of this one.
God, I feel the same way. So do the listeners. This one's going to get weird. You quickly turn left and stare at six German shepherds racing toward you in the canine maze. Three come at you from one side, three come at you from the other. You're trapped like a motherfucker. Their needle, sharp teeth drip with saliva, not salvia, that would be horrible. Two of them froth at the mouth. One of them has caked, dried blood all over his face like a juggalo, as if it had been eaten raw meat or something earlier that day. Don't scream, you tell yourself. Don't show fear and don't run. But what can you do? There's only one way to call off the dogs, with a silver whistle. But do you have one? If you meet the half boy, half dog, if you met the half boy, half dog and got a silver whistle from him, go to page 127. If not, turn to page 110. I feel like if we lie to the book, it'll know. Mm-hmm. Because we definitely didn't meet a half boy, half dog getting a silver whistle. This isn't Dungeons and Dragons. Mm-hmm. So, what do you think? I'm really against lying, honestly.
Yeah. No.
From now on, I'm 100% pro lying. No whistle, ah! Too bad. You seem like such a nice person, too, but with all six dogs surrounding you, there's no possible way you're gonna get out of there. Not because the dogs attack you, though. They don't. They're trained to simply corner you and keep you there. Forever. And forever is a very, very long time, which is why this is the end. Do we care about going back to the half boy, half dog? I'm fucking done with this.
Nope.
Do you want to give an outro? You can explain anything you want into the microphone, as long as you end it with the words, "Stay spooky, bitches." Do you want to do that? You just got... But what you've been doing here in the last couple of days, you got to start now, though. Because I'm not editing things. Lean forward. It's a microphone.
Should I talk about, like, teenage things?
Yeah, that's what the kids are into.
All right. Well, I think vaping is a very strong thing that is, like, really taking over everywhere. And I don't
know. Kids love vaping.
Kids do, but I don't know. I feel like it should not be for teens. Because some of
them kids don't smoke anymore. When I was a kid, people smoked.
Yeah.
Connie smoked when she was a teenager.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. They're all kind of just, like, douchebags who do it. Like, the teens who do it, like, no.
It's douchey.
Yeah.
Smoking's kind of cool. I didn't ever do it, but it's kind of cool.
It's a little cool. Fucking cool, boy.
Okay. We established that teens that vape are douches, just like me and other people that vape are douches.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. What are teen stuff we got going on? We're doing teen talk at the end of Goosebumps. Oh. Come here. Come here, boo-boo.
Hang on.
I don't know. I've heard, like, you know, twerking, that's still pretty,
you're heavily,
like,
into twerking.
I'm not heavily into twerking.
But you go to a mostly black school in Virginia.
Okay, so, yeah. So I got transferred, and everybody's just, like, it's just all twerking and Chief Keef and, like,
but,
it's just
okay.
Like, it's
really... I just don't understand. You say it's all over. Like, are people, like, twerking between...
Yes.
Is that a mode of transportation now?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And...
like you can either jog 2 miles or twerk half a mile.
Mm-hmm. That is how that school is ran.
Honestly, black people have such a high instance of obesity and diabetes that I feel like twerking is going to help them out as a whole.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely is an exercise.
Okay.
But I don't think using it for just a dance isn't cool. I mean, exercising it, that's a good benefit to it. I've never thought of it like that, you know? I'm sure it really, like, works. It works everything.
Class is half full for me. What else are the kids into? Because I'm 28. I was your age when you were born.
I don't know. Kids are starting to get weirdly into, like pills and stuff. It's just getting weird. Like, kids are just getting weird.
One time I experimented with a drug. Pills are not good. Pills can kill you, and they can give you a mediocre high. Those are the two things pills do. Not give you a great high and just bum you out and kill you.
I mean, it's getting stupid. I don't know.
The kids are doing pills now.
Yeah, I have a lot of fucked up opinions about kids doing drugs right now. Like the kids drugs are
doing way less drugs than normal.
Yeah, but the drugs that are popular right now,
they're
like,
not really
here,
doing bath salts.
Well, here, they're doing like heroin.
Well, heroin's just big here because we live right next to Tijuana.
I know, but it's gonna, you know, kill a few people, which I don't...
Virginia's teeny. Like, it's not that bad. Everything's
yeah, but
just
drugs are
gay.
Everywhere, especially with teenagers.
Yeah, yeah, but I'm just saying heroin's super cheap here compared to everywhere else. And it's not the heroin they have in Virginia. It's the black tar. Heroin that in Virginia is like powder. It's safer. It's not the Mexican shit. It's like...
Okay, that still doesn't make it okay.
I am not into
okay.
it.
Okay, why are we talking about this?
All I'm saying is kids shouldn't be just eating Xanax. That's no good for me.
It's stupid. It's not worth it.
Okay, what else are kids into? Obviously, Dune reads Goosebumps. Everyone in your school talks about that all the time.
Yeah, that's definitely a big thing. It's just all I hear.
It just bums me out that all there's all the Dune reads Goosebumps graffiti all over every school in the country. And then the principals send me emails. Stop making the kids do it. And I say, don't do it. I mean, you can do it and send me a picture, but don't do it. Please do it and send me a picture. we got to end it soon. But what else the kids gonna do? What would I be interested in?
Kids just really don't do shit anymore. I mean,
they
I'm kind of one of those kids. Not gonna lie, but
you just send a computer and a tablet, right?
Yeah, it's really boring. But yeah, it's kind of boring.
We're gonna turn into Wall-E.
I know. People, they're virgins, but they're butt sexting.
Ew.
That's what they're into.
They love sexting.
But not leaving their house.
Yeah.
Those kids.
Mm-hmm. They're Snapchats.
Oh, my God. Snapchat is not a bad thing. Like,
oh, whatever.
It can be used, I guess, for bad things if that's what you're into or whatever, but... You know, some people just use it for good. There's, you know, not everybody's bad.
It's a rolled-up dollar bill. You can use it for shady things, but also it's a great way to store your money. That's Snapchat. I want you to say one more poignant thing about the youth and then end it with stay spooky, bitches. Poignant about the youth.
Really weird and, like styles are coming back, like... That things that, like, just weren't cool and nobody looks good. But, you know, I guess it's coming back. It's whatever.
I don't care about fashion. That wasn't poignant to me at all.
Sorry, dude.
Why don't you elaborate?
What are the kids into? I think the kids are doing better. Crime's down. Underage pregnancy's down. Drug use is down.
Yeah.
Everything's good for the kids. That's my ending message, huh?
Yeah.
And there's one thing the kids can do...
Stay spooky, bitches.